You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference. I am your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. Yes, I still sound like garbage. I'm working on it. It won't go away, no matter how much NyQuil and Robitussin I chug on a regular basis. Somebody give me one of those Z-Packs, please. Just, like, mail it to my house. Because at this point, I will take something, anything. I don't care. If it's a spider bite and it'll cure me in 2 days, whatever. That's fine. Because I'm tired of this. I'm absolutely tired of this. I am joined, as I always am, on Mondays to recap the weekend that was and look ahead to the weekend that will be with my good friend Andy Mitz.
Hey, it's good to be back. Sounds, Philip, like you're campaigning to become the next Spider-Man, so. You know, bit by a radioactive spider, he can never get sick anymore after that, so.
I am fairly sarcastic. I was kind of nerdy in high school. Yeah. I'd be more like, I think I'm more Tobey Maguire version than I am the other two, which is like, you look at him, and you're like, I mean, he's not attractive, right? But you know, he's not the first guy you stop and look at in the room. So, I mean, I get that billing. That makes a lot of sense. Jamie needed the day off. She sounds worse than me, apparently. And by sounds worse, she just literally doesn't, it's like, but we do have a guest filling in. He is one half of the irreverent podcast here on the 10-12 network, Between Two Bears. That is Mr. Matt Is Bear. Matt, welcome to the show, man.
The word irreverent there makes it sound like we're intentionally anything and that there's any kind of like effort to do something with Between Two Bears. So I appreciate it, but it's just, it's whatever comes out of our mouths. That's what ends up being the audio. So if irreverent fits the bill, then I'll take it. Guys, this is going to be fun. What a, just kind of a, not weird necessarily weekend in the Big 12, but it was, interesting. I'll say that.
Yeah, I was just saying, Matt, your podcast is the epitome of stream of consciousness podcasting.
Boy,
so
is it.
I am very excited to bring that here to the main show here on the 10-12 network. So
we'll see what we can do. I myself, I'm getting over a little bit of crud. I'm drinking tea and I hate tea, just for you guys. So this is just a massive amount of respect that I don't show even my own co-host. So just be aware that I respect you guys and we're here to do some serious work. So,
I mean, I would hope you have more respect for us than you do Evan. I mean,
that's true.
I've listened to the show on the regular basis like that.
So here's the cool thing about Evan is that he's the younger of us by, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, but his brain works so much better than mine. He can actually like remember when games happened, what year, what happened that year. He can contextualize things. like his brain actually works, and I'm just here for the vibes, right? I pay attention to stuff during basketball games, like body language and, you know, just, I don't know. So he's the hard skills part of it. I'm the soft skills, and we both don't care what anybody else thinks about us. And so that's what combines to get us both in trouble.
So one is hard and one is soft every week on the show. That also sounds like a pretty good description of
that works.
An app description of the show. Yes. So make sure that if you are not listening to our Baylor show Between Two Bears, like I understand if you're not a Baylor fan, that's fine. You should go listen to the show anyways. It brings a smile to my face every single week and is definitely one of the like best worst decisions we've ever made as a network.
Maybe 45% of our content is actually about Baylor. The rest is usually making fun of Texas. I'd say making fun of TCU.
Bringing on a Texas guest to make fun of Texas A&M. I mean, that's
good. Now that was pretty good. We enjoyed that. That was fantastic. That one was fun. That was pretty good. So yeah, I'd say we're more about the pain that others are experiencing more so than Baylor.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and also someone else who we can make fun of somebody with. Okay. There you go. So let's hop on to the weekend it was. We're going to divide this a little differently. Instead of going game by game, because obviously there's only 1 week left in the regular season, there's still a lot to play for this upcoming Saturday. So I want to kind of set the stage for that conversation by looking at what happened this weekend. I want to break this into two groups. We have the three games that impact the Big 12 title game and the two games that don't. So let's get the two games that don't out of the way. Andy, I want to ask, you know, TCU 31, Kansas 28, tie games at the very end there. Kansas was competitive. I know that TCU is kind of, they're without a head coach. It's not been a good pro. They haven't been a good team this year. Kansas was in that game. They didn't falter. They didn't fold. And I do feel like and I want to focus on the Kansas side of this first, the way the season has gone from the OU game to now, set Oklahoma State aside because they've done that to Texas Tech and West Virginia and everybody else they played the last 4 weeks. It does really feel like the end of the year is showing some progress that should make Kansas fans pretty excited heading into 2022.
Yeah. Look, end of the year progress that I envisioned by the end of this year, let me restart. It feels like Kansas is ahead of schedule. Like, I think that's the best way to describe it at this point, because when I was talking at the beginning of the year, it was, hey, you win that, you know, non-conference game against South Dakota. You try to be competitive. Maybe you steal one, you know, in terms of Big 12 play, you know, against one of the early teams that were supposed to be the teams that were down this year in the conference, you know, and then the end of the year, all the competition ramps up and you just hope that you can, you know, stay competitive, stay within three scores for all these games. The big win against Texas was like the first step. Obviously, you know, the foundation for that was the game against Oklahoma. Then you get blasted by two teams that are clearly, clearly much better than you at that point, you know, and then you beat Texas, which is fantastic to build on. And the question was always going to be, how do you follow it up against TCU? Because say what you want about all the problems that TCU is having, they still probably have more talent at almost every single position when you look at the depth chart there. So the fact that they were able to stay, you know, close in this game, that they were able to find guys to really take a step up. Look, we all talked about Jared Casey's, you know, big 2-point conversion catch last year because that was an absolutely phenomenal story. He followed that up this game with an absolutely phenomenal game. He had two big blocks on two scoring plays that he did not catch, you know, that he was not the guy that they went to, that really kind of sprang things loose for people. He also had a fantastic one-handed catch going out of bounds. You know, that was absolutely fantastic to get a first down there. And then he caught the touchdown. Look, you know, he was able to present himself in such a way on that last touchdown drive to be able to make it so that people didn't think the ball was coming to him, and he caught that one. So, like, we actually saw a guy who was a walk-on coming into the year that nobody really identified, who actually looks to be one of Kansas' better players, which you can say what you want. About
he can
what,
play. Right. He can exactly. Absolutely play.
Yeah. You can say what you want about, you know, what does that say about Kansas scholarship players? But what I think it actually says more about is the fact that, you know, Lance Leipold has used this year to build the foundation that they needed to properly identify the different players that they have and identify guys whose talent was being overlooked, who didn't have an opportunity to really show what they could do in the past system, you know, where it was all about, hey, these are our highest recruited guys. We need to play them even if they're not working out. you know, this is what Kansas has been missing. It's finding guys that were completely unheralded, developing them throughout the year. And then when they get their opportunity to actually do something, they're able to step up big. Jared Casey is the epitome of that for this Kansas team. What this Kansas team has been missing now for the last decade. And hopefully this is a launching point for them to, you know, be able to identify more guys, you know, show what they're able to do, use this as a step up for recruiting and go into the year, you know, the end of the year, feeling really good about where they are and what they can build for the next year. I don't care what happens in this game against West Virginia. I happen to think that they'll at least be able to keep it close for a half going into this game. But to be honest, no matter what happens in this game against West Virginia, they've had a very successful season. You've set the foundation for what you think. And look, West Virginia is a team that is probably better than people thought they were going to be coming into the year. You know, so it's not like we go into the senior day with any kind of expectations here. Kansas fans have to be feeling great about this. The fact that they were in this game until the very end with Devin Neal going down before halftime and not being able to play the entire second half, that tells you a lot about what they have, the fight that they're putting in, the belief that this team has, and just the fact that this program is in a much better position than I think anybody expected them to possibly be at the end of this year.
The thing that, so as a fan of a team who's been in the basement before, you have to latch on to things, right? And I think if I was a Kansas fan, the thing I'm latching onto is Jalen Daniels, freshman, Devin Neal, freshman. And then I started getting a little bit more curious. I was like, okay, well, what's how old is it? This is a super young team. This is a remarkably young team. Kansas has a lot of good stuff in their future. I said it maybe during the Oklahoma game in more forceful tone than the words actually expressed in written form. But this team is going to be like hashtag good in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's promising. And that's all you could really ask for in year one, considering, again, Leipold got there so late. The coaching staff had no time before the season. Look,
I've been calling this year negative one. Like, that's how much or how little time he actually had. Because this isn't even like a year zero where a guy comes in and he's completely rebuilding from the, like, you had the program completely in shambles. Les Miles, yes, did a good job with recruiting and the guys that they were able to hold on to. And they, you know, they lost three really good guys on the defense. Honestly, I think Kansas' season probably would have looked a lot different if you didn't lose, you know, the three transfers in Dejon Terry, Marcus Harris, and Caron Parenti. That defense would have looked a whole lot better than it was, because those were three guys that are starting at SEC teams, or Caron Parenti, who had other situations that made him take a, you know, step away from football, but he was a freshman All-American last year. So, like, you know, this is one of those things where they lost a decent amount of top-end talent, but how young they are, how well Les Miles, like, for everything else that he did wrong, both at his time at LSU and then when he was here at Kansas, he brought in a bunch of talent that now Lance Leipold is molding and is able to get together. And you're right, they had a lot of guys that were playing that were really, really young, which was one reason you thought this was kind of like a year zero type of thing. Then you talk about the timing of when Leipold comes in. That's another reason to make it kind of a year zero type of thing. So, I mean, I've been dubbing this the year negative one for Lance Leipold, and they're already to the point where you actually feel like progress is being made, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. As far as TCU goes, I mean, they get a win. They're one win away from getting to a full game. That's great. I mean, it's a nice run for the players who are going to be graduating, moving on. It's a nice run for the coaching staff, who will all be looking for, or most of which will probably be looking for new jobs into the season. TCU still without a head coach, though. The Sonny Dykes train seems to have been pretty close to coming into the station, and then the station seemed to just decide to go, nope, and moved. And looked at some other candidates, and then a whole lot of other jobs opened up, and all those other candidates who thought TCU looked like a good job suddenly saw better jobs available. And I, at this point, I'm pretty sure it's TCU and Sonny Dykes, and that's a deal that'll be official once the SMU season is over. So for TCU, this is just, you know, getting to a bowl game would just be a nice way to end a pretty rough season that, in the grand scheme, moving forward, doesn't project a whole lot to the future. We'll talk about the game they have on Saturday coming up in a bit. But they're one win away. They didn't lose to Kansas. Sorry, Andy, but, you know, they don't. They like pretty much everybody else in the conference. It's only Texas is the one who has to hang that banner on their door moving forward. Speaking of Texas, West Virginia 31, Texas 23. This was a battle between two teams who had to win their last two games to get to bowl eligibility. West Virginia was the victor, which didn't surprise me in the least. And I don't, like, at all. Like, I think everyone was on the West Virginia side. It's not shocking to see them play well. Their defense continues to be pretty solid. The offense was impressive. Jared Daigie, 290 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's a good day for Daigie.
Let's hold on. Hold on just a second. To say the West Virginia offense was impressive, you know, sure. We're being charitable.
I'm being nice here.
I think we're going to spread some love.
Sure.
They were fine. The West Virginia offense was fine. The Texas defense is abysmal, I think, just objectively. So get that out of the way. But the score of 31-23 doesn't really tell the whole story. Texas converted their first third down off of a tipped pass by a West Virginia linebacker that just happened to fall into a Texas receiver's hands behind him. Could have just as easily been a pick. It was just a right. And I think it was in the third quarter or maybe in the late second quarter. I don't know, man. Like this Texas program, who's going to be healthy next week to play quarterback? Are they going to continue to run the ball? Are they not going to run? What are they doing? Right. And I think the whole part about fire Sark, right? I think that's overblown. You can't do that yet. There's going to be some overhaul there. And that throws what, 3 or 4 coordinators at athletes who have been there for 3 or 4 years. So I don't know where they go from here. They're not going to make a bowl for the first time since like 16 or something like that. It's just a mess. But West Virginia, maybe the most up and down team in the conference this year. A lot of weird wins, a lot of weird losses, a lot of good wins, a lot of bad losses. I don't know. So just kind of what we expected, but in a weird way.
Yeah. Let's be honest. West Virginia's,
I'm being generous.
I was going to say, let's be honest here. Talking about West Virginia's defense or offense being good is like, yes, it looks good when you're grading on a curve. Like it wasn't correct. Objectively good, but it was more than good enough, especially with how well West Virginia's defense is playing. But the thing for Texas, like, it looks like Texas is going to be revamping their entire, you know, support staff essentially. So like, you know, I could see them having a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator. And this is now going to be the third year in a row that they're going to have huge shakeups on the staff. Because if you remember, the year before Tom Herman left, he brought in a brand new offensive and defensive coordinator, completely revamped everything in a bid to try to save his job. Then he gets fired. You bring in a whole brand new group of staff here. And now it looks like in order for, you know, the mutiny to not happen over at Texas, Sarkisian is going to have to pretty much clean house and figure out what staff he wants to bring at this point. I mean, it's hard to see the bleeding stop for Texas at some point here. Like, I don't know what it's going to take, you know, being a fan of a team that has gone through this multiple times, that at some point you just have to deal with the lumps and stick with the guys and hope, you know, like give them actually an opportunity to get, you know, things changed, to get attitudes turned, to get people to buy into what the coaches are doing. You know, if there's a guy that you can identify and say, hey, look, he's not doing his job, let's get him out of here. That's one thing. But if it's, hey, this system isn't working, let's try a different system, you have to give the system time to take root for it to actually work. So I understand that there's going to be a lot of Texas fans that want Sark to completely shake everything up and hire a whole bunch of new staff. I'm not saying that they don't do something, but they need to be careful that they're not cleaning house just for the sake of cleaning house. They need to identify what it is that they're trying to do and have a very good plan moving forward, because you are now looking at the third year of significant coaching changes. That is going to cause problems if you don't do it carefully.
Let me push back.
If you are hired.
Let me push back for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, let me say this. We are not one to advocate for someone losing their job here ever. Okay? But I do not believe that Pete Kwiatkowski is long for Austin. To your point that you can't just make that decision. I would point to a head coach who, after his first year, was very, very unsuccessful. A head coach within his own state, within his own conference, who made the decision to overhaul the entire section of the side of the ball. A head coach who happens to coach the team of which our guest host here today covers. Mm-hmm. And that has turned out to be pretty successful. Now, that is one example. But I would argue in a situation like this, there is an issue to me with the way your defensive coordinator wants to do things compared to what he has available to him that is not working. And it may be a situation where it's not ideal, but instead of allowing something to continue that is not working to not continue to not work, You may need to make an overhaul of a position coach or of a coordinator to move in a different direction before you are doing it because you have to do it to save your job.
Well, no. And I think the point that I wanted to make is you don't make a change just for the sake of making a change because what you're doing right now isn't working. If you're going to make a change, you need to have a very clear idea of what you want and who is going to be able to bring it in, right? So, like, yes, you can't guarantee that, hey, I'm going to go hire this guy to be my defensive coordinator if you know, that's where you're making the switch. But if you can say, hey, there's three or four guys out there that I'm fairly certain can do this in a way that I think is going to be successful, then it might make sense to make a change at that point. If you're going to fire a coach and say, well, there's only one guy that I trust, but I'm not certain I can actually get him, then you're going to end up in a potentially situation that's just as bad, bringing in some random person that you think might be able to do it just because you have to get rid of the guy that you have right now. And yes, I understand the thought process of, hey, this coach is as bad as it can get in terms of doing with, you know, what they can want or what they need to do with what they have. But you also have to remember that Sark has not really had a good recruiting class all of his own with a full amount of time to actually recruit. Like, this is something where it might take some time to find the guys, you know, in this recruiting class. Obviously, you have to worry about whether he can actually bring in the recruits he needs on the defensive side of the ball to fix it. But I just, you know, I've heard a lot of Texas fans are like, we absolutely have to get rid of him. I don't care who we have in there next year. We cannot have this guy. It's like, if you're just getting rid of him that's where you get into trouble, because you have to have a very clear plan of what you want instead, not just, we don't want this.
I think there is enough talent on the offensive side of the ball in Austin to do better than 2 for 10 on third down. It's just there's something going on. It's not just one coach or one side of the ball or one collection of players or the number of stars or the number of stars you're lacking. I don't know, man. I can't believe I was scared of this hire when it was made. That's all.
I think we're always scared of every hire that a program like Texas makes, because what if this is the one that turns things around? But, you know, it's at this point, I don't know. Plus, it doesn't matter.
I'm just glad they're not going to be our problem. Gone. Right. Exactly. I was going to say, I'm just glad they're not going to be our problem for very much longer.
Yeah. They'll be gone soon. You know what's going to be gone if you don't move quickly? The things that you want at Home Field Apparel for yourself and for those on your holiday shopping list. Okay. Christmas is coming. So the holidays are almost here, and I know you want to get Home Field Apparel both for yourself and for your loved ones, because who doesn't want to give the gift of comfort and freaking awesome vintage college sports logos on that uber comfortable t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, and joggers. Plus, they got stickers. Plus, they got some other new really cool gear. Like, every time you turn around, you're like, oh, well, now I got to go back to Home Field. Well, if you haven't been to Home Field yet, if you haven't bought anything yet, that's okay. Because you've got two ways to save. You can use our promo code, NETWORK12, NETWORK12, and get 15% off your first order. Or, and it's okay if you want to save that first one for some other time, on Black Friday through Cyber Monday, that's November 26th through November 29th, that's this coming Friday through the following Monday, Homefield is running their Black Friday deal. All items are going to be 20% off. Everything in homefieldapparel.com will be 20% off. No promo code needed. Okay? But items are subject to sell out. They print the stuff as fast as they can, but they're not just going to have an insane amount sitting around. Like, oh, we need a bajillion Hawaii t-shirts. Because, probably not. I mean, you should, because they're amazing, but you never know. So, if you want to get yours, you need to order them. And guys, stuff is taking forever to get done. And it's not just because of them. Okay? Like, trying to get in the actual t-shirts and sweaters and hoodies that they print their stuff on, it's a mess out there, folks. There's just shipments of things sitting in boats in the oceans, just like, well, we'll get there eventually. Chug, chug, choo-choo. So, if you want your stuff under the tree on Christmas, go to homefieldapparel.com. This Friday through Monday, 20% off the whole store. If you don't want to wait till then, you can get 15% off your first order. You can get 15% off your first order, and then you can get 20% off another order this weekend too. See what I did there? You're welcome. All orders of $100 or more get free shipping. So go to homefieldapparel.com. They've got stuff for Iowa State fans, Baylor fans, Texas Tech fans, Oklahoma State fans, West Virginia fans, Cincinnati fans. No, not you, because your school hasn't figured it out yet. Okay, Cincinnati, That's why you're still not ranked in the top four yet in the playoff. It's because you're not at home field.
Because so they don't have the home field magic. Yeah.
No, there's no home field magic for you, but there is for Houston, UCF, and BYU. So go check out the more than 100 schools they have available at homefieldapparel.com. Get your shopping done and do it quick if you want to have it under the tree on Christmas morning.
Plus, a t-shirt is so easy to wrap. You just roll it up in the little thing. Seriously. And you could easily put it in a bag. Or yeah. It's just the very easy roll and then twist with a paper at the end, little tape, done. Little bow, boom.
You know, Philip, I am a little surprised with how many times Matt and Evan have used your promo code, you know, the promo code for this one here that you didn't use theirs in return. But no, you know, this is one of those. I am definitely looking forward to when my school finally gets home field. But I'm also looking forward to the fact, or maybe home field's looking forward to the fact that my wallet is going to get completely destroyed for Christmas this year because there's just way too many other good things.
No more new schools this year. No more. They're like, we can't do it. They can't anymore. They'll hit it hard in the spring. Like hard. Heard. I don't know.
This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I also hate Pitt, joined by my brother, Jeremy J.N. Fiend Phoenix. We are the Raspy Voice Kids. We do the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. If you love West Virginia University, you will love our podcast. If you don't care about West Virginia University, you will love our pop culture segment. It begins every single episode. You can join in the fun anytime, any place. Get at your boys.
Okay. Let's bundle the three games that we absolutely have to talk about. Three teams remain in contention for the Big 12 title game. One has locked themselves in with a berth. Oklahoma State 23, Texas Tech nada. That is a shutout, folks. Let me reiterate a fact so that you understand how Oklahoma State's defense is playing. In the last four games, the starting defense, because yes, the fourth quarter against TCU is all backups, and that second touchdown that they scored was a defensive score. The starting defense for Oklahoma State in the last four games has allowed 9 total points. They have not given up a touchdown in 4 games. I'm not allowed to be like pessimistic anymore. I keep getting told by my OSU friends, right, like, quit it. So I have to be like, this is ridiculous. Yes, I have concerns about Oklahoma State's offense, specifically the offensive line injuries, because you lost one of the two guys you couldn't lose in starting center Danny Godlewski and Josh Sills, who is banged up, which is not good. So the two offensive linemen, you're like, if you're going to take any two from us, please don't take these two. One's gone for who knows how long, and one's beat up. And the backup to Josh Sills, who started in the game against Texas Tech, got injured early in the game and had to come out, and so Josh Sills had to go back in. That's my only concern about Oklahoma State. I'm not worried about this defense. Like, look, will OU put up some points on this defense? Yes. I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to shut out Oklahoma. I'm not stupid, okay? But I trust the defense. I absolutely trust the defense. You have to trust this defense. There's no like, well, you're 11 games into the season. How much more evidence do you need?
About one more game. That's all I need. I just need about one more game. I need a great Oklahoma State performance to beat Oklahoma, and then Baylor will be sitting pretty.
Yeah, guys, Baylor. That's the point we got to make here. Baylor is both rooting. You guys got to get some like house divided blue or orange and green shirts for Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're good. I really tried to watch this game. I truly did. I was like, oh, Big 12 football that has, you know, real impact for my team. Let's watch it. Let's sit down. And then, man, this was a grind of a game. This was just like Texas Tech. Really, you could tell, did not have a whole lot of plan B or plan C's behind whatever their plan A was. I still couldn't figure that out. Just not a lot going offensively. And does Oklahoma State have the most durable running back in the country?
Jalen Warren?
That man
maybe
has to put in so much work every weekend. Oklahoma State relies on that man just a lot. I'd be curious to see where he leads and or where he falls on the leaderboard for number of carries.
Of carries is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Oklahoma State, man, just balance. Sanders is playing better. Just a balanced team. That's the story of this conference this year, is who can bring the most balance to a game. You've seen Kansas State have a lot of success. You've seen Baylor have a lot of success. When Iowa State isn't messing up, they're a pretty balanced team. And then you know, it's just, I don't know what else to say. Oklahoma State, pretty good. It's upsetting. Don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, the main takeaway that I have from this Oklahoma State team is this Oklahoma State defense. And actually, Phillip, we talked about this earlier in the year when it looked like there was more than one of these, but they are literally the only unit in the entire conference that is just straight up dominant. Yes, Iowa State put up some points against Oklahoma State, but you know, every really good unit at something is going to have a couple blips here and there. And it was just the fact that Iowa State did just enough there. But this Oklahoma State defense is probably the most dominant unit from any team in the conference on anything. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, in today's football world, all anybody cares about is the ability to score points, because apparently that's all the SEC knows how to do now. And so that's all anybody cares about. Like if anybody cared about defense anymore, you know, like if this Oklahoma State defense played, say, I don't know, 8 years ago, everybody would be talking about Oklahoma State as one of the best teams in the nation, because of just how dominant this defense is. And defense is what was in vogue that long ago. Like this is the one thing that makes it so difficult to really know what's going on, because we're just not used to seeing, like, we've seen good defenses in the Big 12, but they usually come with a really good offense as well for the best teams. And the offenses in the Big 12 are usually so good that it doesn't matter how good your defense is. There are going to be games where they just get blown up. That hasn't really happened to this Oklahoma State team. And they are just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I don't know what else to say about this team. It was a completely dominant performance. You know, I had some people that were wondering very, very loudly, you know, in my mentions, how did Iowa State lose to this Texas Tech team last week? And it's because, like, that game was all more about what Oklahoma State was doing than what Texas Tech wasn't able to do. Like, Texas Tech wasn't able to do anything because Oklahoma State did not let them literally do anything at all. And that was
absolutely
super, super impressive.
It's been on another level since the Iowa State game, really. And again, Iowa State put up 24 points. Texas put up 24 points. That's the most anybody scored. And since the Iowa State game, and it's almost like the loss just fueled them. Because again, starting defense has given up 9 points in the last 4 games. 3 to Kansas, 3 to West Virginia, 3 to TCU, and none to Texas Tech. Like, again, OU's going to put up points. Yes, blink it, Riley. I know what you're doing. I know the, like, there's no way. I get it. But it's funny. I've props to him. like, OU's going to put up points. I'm not worried about that. Can OSU's... we'll talk about Bedlam here in a little bit. We'll do all that. As we mentioned, Baylor 20, Kansas State 10. And there wasn't a lot of offense in the second half. After halftime, I never watched the game and went like, you know what? Kansas State's still in this. It did not feel like it. Even with Bohannon not in there. Like, it was like, okay. I'm not worried about this. Like, and that's surprising because Kansas State had been playing so well. And then, another defensive showing. I think Baylor's still playing incredibly well. As an OSU fan who hopes that they win Bedlam and Baylor wins and OSU faces a Baylor team that doesn't have Jerry Bohannon in the Big 12 title game, I do have to ask, like, what is your takeaway, Matt, from this game?
My takeaway is that this team is just – this Baylor team is just prepared. Right. There's been talk about how this Baylor team doesn't play well on the road. And it's true. Right. The two losses have been on the road and they look they just looked different. Right. So there's like a mental component there. But other than that, this team is just prepared every week. Right. Gary Bohannon has been fine. He's been fine. He definitely won the game versus OU. With his legs, but throwing the ball, he's just been fine. So when the injury happened to Gary Bohannon and Blake Shapen, the backup, now that Jacob Zeno has transferred, I don't know that there was just like a massive collective gasp or fear that this was going to go poorly. Blake Shapen came in, threw a couple really nice balls. And then he took over with his legs, a lot of QB power, a lot of wide zone with the quarter. Like, it just, the game plan didn't change a bit. And that was pretty exciting to know that each backup on this team, because we've seen it with depth issues, you know, except the running back and wide receiver positions, you know, depth has been challenged everywhere else on this team. And it's just, everybody seems to be prepared. Yeah. There's a little bit of a drop off there, but everybody was just prepared. And, you know, to only score 3 points in the second half is okay. It's, you know, not great, but with a backup quarterback, somewhat understandable. To hold Kansas State to 3 points in the second half, with the only real score coming from a breakaway Deuce Vaughn touchdown, I'll take it. This defense is always prepared from a game plan standpoint. Just really, really exciting. I think that this team can do a lot. I fully expect this Baylor team to beat Texas Tech next week. I fully expect this Baylor team, if given the opportunity to play in the conference championship game, to make it a really fun, close, exciting game. Stressful. All Baylor games have been stressful this season, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, this Baylor team has kind of been hitting me all year, honestly, as a team that it goes into each game with the idea that they're going to do just enough to win. That they, you know, if they get up big in a game, you can almost palpably see them take their foot off the gas a little bit, unless it's a team like, you know, when they played Kansas and Kansas couldn't do anything, and so even taking the foot off the gas, they were going downhill so fast that, you know, the brakes couldn't stop them. So like, this is one of those things where, and maybe it comes back to bite them at some point. I think it kind of did in that TCU game where, you know, they needed to put the foot on the gas a little bit more and keep going. And they just didn't do it. And TCU was able to take advantage. But like, we saw that against Oklahoma, you know, they relied on the defense. The offense did just enough to push them over the edge in that game. And then, of course, the whole field goal shenanigans at the end that Lincoln Riley kind of got what was coming to him. But, you know, it's one of those things where I always wonder with this Baylor team. I worried about this Kansas State game because those are the kind of games that Kansas State thrives in, right? Is a game where a team is not going to put them away, going to give them an opportunity to make a big play at the end of the game and get back into it. And Baylor, honestly, just didn't really put this game away at any point. They did let Kansas State kind of hang around, but the defense was able to do enough to keep Kansas State from getting all the way back into it and getting that big play that they needed to really get things going again. You know, I was a little worried when, you know, Kansas State got that touchdown to bring it back within seven, and then the field goal kind of calmed things down. And then at that point, it was like, well, what's going to happen in the second half? Either Baylor's going to get that first score, and this is going to be a game that you feel comfortable for them the rest of the way, or Kansas State's going to muddy it up for a long time and get close again, and then you're going to wonder. Like, it's going to be a nail biter. And that's kind of what happened. It's just that Kansas State was never able to get that other touchdown that they needed. You know, they got that first field goal to get back within a touchdown, and then things just kind of went awry for them just as much as it did for Baylor, and nobody really did anything. I think it could be a problem for Baylor against Texas Tech, just because I think Texas Tech is one of those teams that will jump up at random times and bite you, kind of like what TCU does. So this is a game I think that Baylor has to be focused on, especially with the fact, you know, that they do have this opportunity to go to the Big 12 title game. They have to be extremely focused this week. And I do think that we're going to have to see something from them that they just haven't done. I mean, so this game against Kansas State, I just don't know what to actually take from it. It doesn't really change my opinion of Baylor. It kind of reinforced the fact that this Baylor team doesn't seem to have that killer instinct. They just have a defense that's good enough that usually it works out.
I think it definitely appears that way. If you go watch all of the Baylor snaps this season, it is, look, I understand it's not as pretty, but it is, they are, some of these wins are more dominant than they appear. The Texas game, the Oklahoma game, in the Oklahoma game, there's a point in the time where Baylor had 201 rushing yards compared to a -2 for Oklahoma. And I think that was at the end of the second quarter, or at the end of the third, maybe. It was just, it's all line of scrimmage stuff. And if you're looking for the story for the Baylor team this year, it's been the line of scrimmage. Just the coaching has been phenomenal, getting that unit to improve the amount that they have. So yeah, it doesn't look the same. The scoreboard doesn't always reflect how dominant it is. But if you look at some of the advanced, like post-game expectancy, you know, win expectancy, Baylor's up there quite a bit this season. I think Baylor really should beat Texas Tech. If the Lions play like they could play, it should be a win. Again, it may be a score of 28-14 or 28-17 or something like that. By the way, bet Big 12 unders this season. Oh, yeah. You don't have a lot of time left to do that, but do it. Yeah.
Except for against Kansas.
So it's ugly at times, except for against Kansas. It's ugly at times, but this Baylor team is competent in just about every phase.
So the other game we got to talk about, Oklahoma, 28, Iowa State 21. Iowa State tried to tie it up late with some Brock Purdy magic.
Oh no, our Purdy, it's broken. No, he was pretty good. I can't rail on him too hard. That last interception though was extremely Brock Purdy.
But it was Big 12 title game last year. It was like he's coming down there. I'm like, they're not gonna win. They're not gonna tie this up. Like I they're not gonna do it. And they didn't, because Iowa State statistically remained this like really good team. All the metrics love them, but it's not fine. Translating. It's just not translating. Like everything that broke their way last season has not broken their way this season. And they've been bad on the road. I forget which show I was listening to, and they brought up like Iowa State on the road gives up like 6.8 like yards per play. Like it's not good. In Big 12 play on the road, Iowa State is not nearly as good as they are at home. And we've seen their defense is a better second half team than they are in the first half team. And it's just, I don't know.
This year, I think the main difference between this year and last year is that last year, any time that they had a key moment where something had to happen, it went Iowa State's way last year. This year, it seems like every time they have more opportunities now where like you can have a key moment and if it works out for you, it's probably going to propel you to victory. This year, it feels like they have like four or five times more of those in every game, but yet they don't hit any single one of them. Like big stops that they need on defense to get back in the game against Oklahoma, they weren't able to do it. Like every time it seems like they get a big stop, they then immediately go three and out or have some sort of offensive issue that then gives the ball right back to Oklahoma and just waste time. Like this was just a game where they just needed that one big play to push it over the edge at any point in the second half. And every time they got to one of those critical moments, it just didn't happen. And so, I mean, that honestly, I think is what the difference is that last year, every time they needed one of those, it went really well, except for in the Big 12 championship game. This year, every time they need something like that to get them to get that win, it goes against them. You know, like that Texas Tech 62-yard field goal bomb, like that is a play that normally, like last year, that's something that Iowa State would have done. You know, they would have had that phenomenal, out of nowhere, you know, super improbable play that would have won them a game, as opposed to it now happening to them this year. I mean, I honestly was going back and looking at it. If you look statistically, there is no statistical category that jumps out to me this year that is wildly different than it was last year. The difference, honestly, this year, and maybe there's one here and there, but if you look at the team overall, they have a very similar statistical profile this year to what they had last year. And it's just things situationally are not working out for them. And it almost feels like it's something up here in their head for them that isn't allowing them to step up in those big moments the way that they need to. I don't think that any of the players on the team have gotten legitimately worse. It's just not gelling the same way this year that it did last year.
So here's your difference. Last year, one score games. One games within a touchdown, right? They were 4-2 in those games last year. This year, they are 2-4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference between last year and this year. Last year, they were able to win those close games. This year, they are not able to. And the law of averages, death taxes and the law of averages, those things eventually even out for most teams. And it kind of did for Iowa State this year. And so, like, I still think it's a good team. Obviously, the numbers tell us that. But if you're gonna live and die by close games, you're not gonna win them all. It's gonna be hard to do. It's very hard to win all of those games, unless you can avoid mistakes. And you've got a gunslinger for a quarterback. And when he's on, you get the game against Oklahoma State. And when he's off, you get West Virginia and Texas Tech and Oklahoma till the end and Iowa and Baylor. So, you know, here we are.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it just seems like if last year if last year's team was 8-4 and this year's team was 8-4 and you looked at these two teams, you would say, yeah, that kind of makes sense because these look like very, very similar teams. The difference is last year, all of those key things helped Iowa State, and so they had a much better record last year. This year, it seems like almost all of those are going against Iowa State, and so now they're at 6-5, have qualified for a bowl game, but honestly, at this point, are just trying to get into a semi-decent one at this point. So, like, it's not that there's an appreciable difference in terms of the way the team is set up, the way the team is performing, other than just the fact that you're right, in those low-score games, or in those, you know, low-margin games, where one bounce of the ball one way or another can have a huge impact on whether you win or lose the game. You know, last year, all the bounces were going their way. This year, it seems like all the bounces are going against them.
That's fair. Speaking of bounces, my portfolio symbols bounced down a little bit. Thanks to, Baylor got the win. Can't take Kansas. No payouts this week for me. That's okay. It's okay. It's a long game, folks. It's a long game with Symbol. I don't expect to win every week. Obviously, right? I bought a share of Oklahoma State. Just kidding. You guys know Symbol at this point. Stock market for sports that allows you profit off your sports knowledge. Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts every time the teams that you have shares of win, whether that's in college football, NHL, NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever you want to buy shares in, whatever sport you think you know, that's where you should invest. So visit Symbol.com, S-I-M-B-U-L-L.com, to create a free account. And when you make your first deposit, use the promo code NETWORK12, N-E-T-W-O-R-K, for a money-back guarantee. So here's how this works. To all listeners of this show and any show in our network, even if you lose money in the first 90 days playing around on Symbol, they will refund your initial deposit up to $500, no questions asked. So if you deposit any amount up to $500 in your first deposit, you lose money, it's not going your way, you just don't like it, you don't want to play anymore. If you let Symbol know within 90 days, money back, all of it. Doesn't matter how much you lost, you're getting it all back, okay? It's a great way to go and try it out. So if you've been poking around, if you've been taking part in our pick three, maybe you've heard the ad and you've been like, I don't know. It's a great way, risk-free, to give it a shot. So go to Symbol.com, S-I-M-B-U-L-L.com. Create your free account. Promo code NETWORK12, N-E-T-W-O-R-K-1-2, for your money back guarantee.
Little tip here, guys. Buy low and then sell high. You can only get that here on 10-12.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, Philip, I am glad that you mentioned the pick three contest, because I just looked at the results from this week and it is now in line. Well, I'm sorry. I'm assuming that we're done after this next week, after the regular season. But if we play conference championships, there's a potential that I couldn't. But right now I am up after this week by 3 points. So I'm very happy to say that I will apparently be the first Symbol pick three champion for the 10-12 podcast network.
You know you're not eligible for the prize because you're part of the
I didn't say that. Hey, you know what? It is all about having the title. I can have the title and someone else can have my prize. That's fine.
Also, you cut it in and I was going to make a bull versus bear joke with Matt is bear about stocks.
I still don't understand which one is which. So I'd rather you not speak over my head that way. That'd be super fantastic.
Okay. You did not. Bulls are very aggressive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a bull market, you're very, very, very aggressive with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas
a bear market,
they like to go hibernate. And so, you know, they kind of sit back.
Yeah.
And things kind of get worse.
But so then, I got that. Who's happier, really? I think that's what we really need to be focusing on is happiness.
The bear is like passed out. So the bear isn't happy one way or another.
Oh. And full of whatever it is that he has killed and consumed.
Mm. Fair. He's very happy when he wakes up.
That's true.
Basketball season is finally here, Big 12 fans. And for your home for men's and women's basketball, come to Midwest Madness. We are doing game coverages, going over game analysis, different rankings of teams, and consistently looking at the best matchups in the conference. You're not going to want to miss out on all the amazing basketball coverage we have. So go check out Midwest Madness, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Before we talk about next weekend, I want to do a little quick look at basketball. Of course, if you want anything in relation to Big 12 Hoops, men's and women's. You need to make sure that you are subscribed to the Midwest Madness podcast. Christine Butterfield does a great job every week, sometimes twice weekly, now the season has started. Recap of the games, taking a look at everything, bringing on great guests. She is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to have her in the network. She covers our men's and women's basketball in the Big 12, so go and make sure you're subscribed to the Midwest Madness podcast. Big 12, off to a pretty good start this season, boys. Ooh. Yeah, boys. Pretty dang yeah. good. Four total losses. That's it. Four. It's like 35-4. If I'm not, as I always said, I was an art major for a reason. Don't ask me to do math.
35-4 as of some date in the not so distant past.
Well, so yesterday or today? We're recording on Sunday night. So as of Sunday night at 9:01 p.m. when I am looking at the standings and reading them to you, 35-4. Matt, I know this is something you're very excited about. How you feeling about the Bears? Right
so now? Baylor basketball was my first love, my first true love, Baylor basketball.
OSU basketball right here. OSU, I get it.
The reason I went to Baylor was because I was just watching CBS college basketball one weekend and I saw Aaron Bruce for some reason dive. He was overly, it was too much of a hustle play. He dove for a ball that he could not get. I'm like, oh, this guy plays pretty hard. What's this Baylor school all about? And that brought Baylor to my understanding. Even that being so, I usually don't really ramp up my excitement for college basketball until about Thanksgiving, maybe the 1st of December, right when some of the more interesting, like right actually when about these early season tournaments are happening. Just a little bit more high profile matchups, but this is the earliest I've really been very excited about college basketball. I don't know what it is about this season. I don't know if it's Baylor has a bunch of fun questions that they have to answer, or the fact that I just spent an entire 6-7 months celebrating a national championship. Highly recommend, by the way, if you can go get you one of those, really, really fun. The gear is really fun. Yeah, man, Baylor looks to be really fun and interesting. Texas Tech will be improved. Iowa State will definitely play some basketball games. Kansas, you know, obviously, you know, if not, not unanimously picked to win the conference again, but, you know, I think by 8 of the 10 coaches, Jamie Dixon is going to have something fun for this TCU team, right? Kansas State, I don't even know what to say anymore. I can't really defend Bruce Weber. Porter Moser, like one of the hottest coaching names. I'm excited to see what he can do at Oklahoma while he's here in the conference. Oklahoma State, that is a Travis. Like I'm excited about this conference. And it's the best basketball conference in the nation. It really is. The numbers love the Big Ten and they say really good things about the ACC at the top of it, but the Big 12 is the best basketball conference in the nation. It just is.
By the way, I love how you petered out when we got to the painful one about Phillip's poor team that got completely shafted.
That so that sucks. Year, but, like just yeah. unequivocally, objectively, just sucks. I love Oklahoma State program. I have not felt a lot of emotional positive feelings towards Oklahoma State athletics just after the Bryce Petty turf monster situation. It's just like, it's just tough to look at the logo sometimes, but I love Mike Boynton. Like just a travesty.
How can you not? Like, honestly, like how can you not? I've never heard anybody be like, you know what? That guy, I hate that asshole. Like who's going to say that about him? Like, honestly.
Insane that the decision came down the way it did. For kids that weren't even involved, for coaches that weren't even involved. And then you have Huggy Bear winning his 904th game. Right. And then there's Texas and whatever that's going to be, who knows. Right. So just so many fun storylines, going to be a really strong conference again. And yeah, I mean, anything you want to talk about, I'm all for it.
Hey, yeah, Texas got that Northern quick. Colorado win, and Chris Beard said that's going to be a really good one for them at the end of the season. Chris Beard does one thing; he does a lot of things well. One of them is making sure to schedule the weakest possible non-conference he can.
Anyway. I know. I thought it was great after the Gonzaga game how he talked about how great this game was for the sport of college basketball, and he's looking forward to many more of these games, realizing just how ironic that statement is given the way he likes to schedule non-conference. But no, Phillip, back to your point about Mike Boynton, you know, I can honestly say that when I went to go cover the Big 12 media days, he was the one coach that I just knew I actually absolutely had to go talk to. Like, I had to go ask him questions, had to hear what he was going to say about his team and about what's going on. Obviously, it helped that you had a couple questions for me to throw his way and all that fun stuff. But he was the one coach, other than obviously, you know, Bill Self and then the KU players, because that's who I cover anyway. But like, he was the one I had to make sure that I actually went and talked to, because I love his story. We've talked on here a few times about, you know, what he's done with Oklahoma State. I honestly thought, you know, he by far was the most impressive coach last year in the Big 12, just the way that he handled everything and you know, dealt with everything that was going on there. And was really excited to see what this team was going to do. I thought they had an opportunity to make a deep run, just the way that they showed everything after, you know, not having Cade Cunningham last year and at spots, and was really excited about what the Rosh was going to be able to do this year. So hopefully, you know, they're still going to make it super competitive in the Big 12. They're still probably going to be right there in the middle of the conference standings, and at the end of the year have an opportunity to really kind of ruin some other teams' potential seeding and stuff like that. But unfortunately, they got completely shafted by the NCAA, who then had the audacity to get upset with Mike Boynton about being upset about the ruling and saying, hey, these are the guys that actually, you know, these are the people that actually made that ruling. You probably will never hear their names other than they're here.
How dare you say our names out loud that are also public information for anyone right. who wanted to look it up. But we wanted to make them look it up. We didn't want you to say it out loud to everybody. How dare you? Look, don't send death threats to people about stuff. Right. Like, that's just, that's a, you're, don't be a terrible human being. Like, that doesn't negate them being a terrible human being. But also, like, to quote one of my daughter's favorite books, shove on, shorty. Okay. A couple of big games this weekend. Kansas State's going to play Arkansas in the Hall of Fame Classic. That's in a, yeah.
It'll happen.
It's going to be a game that's played. Iowa State plays Xavier in the NIT season tip-off, which should be an interesting one. Baylor gets started in the Bad Boy Motors Battle for Atlantis. I'm really interested in that tournament. I'm really hoping for a Baylor-UConn championship game matchup. I'm very hopeful that that is what we get. That
fun would be tournament. Kind of fun.
That
field.
Would be awesome.
Really fun.
That field, field. Is oh, yeah. awesome. That field is awesome. That's
Kansas
about it.
And Kansas is playing in the ESPN Events tournament down in Orlando, which I didn't actually think that that was the actual name of the tournament. I kept trying to find the name of it. Yeah, it's literally just the ESPN Events college basketball tournament that's down in Orlando, Florida. But they have the opportunity to play Alabama if both of those teams make it to the championship game. So that should be a fantastic game.
That could be interesting. I'm actually intrigued by OU at UCF on this coming Saturday as well. That could be an interesting game. UCF's kind of a fun under-the-radar men's basketball program. So a couple of good games to keep on your radar. Man, I really do. That if we can get Baylor-UConn, because after Villanova's already lost twice, like that game that for Baylor's kind of lost some of its luster. If we can get Baylor-UConn, bring it. That would be awesome. That would be some must-watch TV. Okay. Before we get to this week upcoming.
He's fine, guys. It's totally fine. Normal. It's good.
He was just so overcome with emotion about all the great stuff coming up this weekend.
Yep. I'm cutting all this out.
No, leave it in.
No, it's disgusting.
Do this as the cold open. Just 45 seconds of I am now
of Philip hacking up a lung.
I am now 35% legitimately worried about it.
Shit.
Take a minute. You're good.
By the way, Matt. The number of times that he said it cut it out and it just happens to just stay in the podcast anyway.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if all this was in here by the
boy,
time.
Boy, I truly
it
hope
drops
so.
Tomorrow.
I truly hope so.
No tailgates complete without a grill. No grills complete without Gridiron Metalworks. Find collegiate branded grill gates and griddles for every grill with every Big 12 team available. Now, if you're on the site, which is gridironmetal.com, chuck some cough syrup. like it's bourbon. Or just charge some bourbon. Don't see your grill listed? Do not worry. You can enter the dimensions of your grill and get a grill grate or griddle custom cut for you, which is freaking awesome. Folks, if you don't see it, they're gonna get you one. What do you want? You want Oklahoma State? You want Iowa State? You want Baylor? Kansas? Their favorite school, which is Purdue? Awesome. They're gonna make it. Plus, along with grill grates and griddles, they have some fantastic home decor items like flower pots, stainless steel bookends, coasters and can coolers, all in actual school colors, not just the... Well, that's pretty close. I mean, it's a green. I'm not sure it's Baylor green, but it's a color green.
Just throw your NyQuil in one of them little tumbler. Oh, God. One of them insulated tumbler. Keep it cooled.
Use it to start the chimney starter.
Absolutely.
Holidays are here. They have the perfect gifts for the hard to shop for. Like, I'm not going to do the rest of the script. I can't do it. All right. Promo code 1012, TEN12, 15% off your first order. GridironMetal.com. It's easy to find. If you can't find it, the link is in our show notes. It's real easy. Promo code 1012, 15% off your order. All orders get free shipping. If you want it done, this stuff is custom cut. It's high quality, but it's custom cut, so you better get your order in. Just like everything else, folks, stuff is going to take forever to ship. So get your order in now. Go to Gridiron, shop around. This stuff is freaking awesome. You will not be sorry. And everyone on your shopping list will be happy this Christmas.
Your home for everything Kansas Jayhawks is the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Metz, and every week we run through the most important stories for all your favorite Kansas programs, whether it's football, soccer, or tennis, volleyball or basketball, baseball and softball, or any other Jayhawk competition, we have it. We have game previews and recaps, interviews with coaches and others close to the team, and analysis from those who pay close attention to all of these programs. You can find us by searching for Rock Chalk Podcast on your favorite platform, so start listening today.
Ooh, all right. I'm going to go get a drink of water because I need something to... My sinus pressure is so bad, my teeth hurt.
Dude.
That's the point. Ooh, that's the point.
That's the worst.
In case you want to know. So, like, chewing is a really fun experience.
Dude, just rap, man. If you just rap. Like,
No. We got a weekend to talk about. We got five games. Usually we pick which one we think is most interesting. I don't want to do that. The Big 12 has done us a favor and put the two most important games both on Saturday. But before we get to those, I do want to talk about one I do think is interesting. Andy, West Virginia, Kansas. West Virginia 5-6, trying to reach a bowl game. On Thursday, TCU at Iowa State. TCU trying to reach a bowl game. I'll let you guys discuss TCU, West Virginia. I know West Virginia is the most likely one to make a bowl game, but make a case for both schools to actually get a win on or this coming weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start there because, look, Iowa State just had a super deflating loss. Well, a couple losses these last few weeks. I mean, is there really that much of a difference between them going 6-6 and sneaking into a, you know, bottom tier Big 12 bowl and going 7-5 and maybe sneaking into a less bottom tier Big 12 bowl? Like, either way, I don't know how motivated Iowa State's going to be, other than the fact that it is senior day. But, you know, this TCU team, I think, got some stability. I mean, it's hard, though, because if you're looking at a team that is more complete, it's definitely West Virginia over TCU. If you're looking at a team that is going up against an opponent who is probably going to be a little bit easier for them to win, it's West Virginia over TCU. So if you have to pick, like, West Virginia is the team to pick if you can only pick one. But I don't think it's necessarily that crazy to think that TCU can, you know, kind of go off the big win that they had for them to kind of stabilize things, get an emotional win, and try to then go and become bowl eligible in the final game. I don't know that I'm super confident that it's going to happen, but it's definitely not crazy to me.
The line right now is 14.5 Iowa State favorite over TCU. That seems a bit high to me.
Yeah.
But Iowa State could just run Breece Hall 40 times and win this game. Like, the TCU defense cannot really stop a whole lot. West Virginia, will they show up two games in a row? Question mark. You never know. I actually put real hard American currency on Kansas to cover the 15 this upcoming week. I do not think West Virginia has the ability to blow this Kansas team out by more than two scores. So, you know, West Virginia might get that win by 14, but I don't see it being that. Yeah, West Virginia likely will get the win. TCU, I don't see it happening. We don't even know who's going to play for them.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. TCU upsetting Iowa State and becoming bowl eligible, I think, would be less of a shock to me than Kansas upsetting West Virginia and keeping them from becoming bowl eligible. With the way that these teams are performing, the way that Kansas took that step forward in this last week, and the way that they're playing fired up, it being senior day, them having an opportunity to really make a statement, I'm still probably picking West Virginia to win this game, but I would definitely be very nervous about this game if I was a West Virginia fan. And I would not be shocked if Kansas can build off of everything that's happened in the last couple weeks and get a huge victory to send them off into next season.
Yeah, it's senior day for Iowa State. I have a feeling they're going to want to go out on top with Purdy and Kolar and everybody else is pretty much going to be done there. I have a feeling they'll put on a show. Just be like, hey, look, 7-5, you know, it's not the worst season ever. I think West Virginia wins, but yeah, 15 feels like a lot to favor West Virginia by, even against Kansas, especially the way Kansas is playing at the end of the year. Other game, Friday, Kansas State at Texas. Does Texas have a seven-game losing streak and seven conference losses for the first time in program history?
I don't understand how Texas is a favorite in this one. Like, have they been watching the Big 12?
Didn't Skylar Thompson get hurt?
Skylar Thompson was injured. It looked bad. I would put, you know, the odds on him playing it this upcoming week very, very low.
I must have missed that. Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. I was busy watching other stuff when the end of this game was happening.
Yeah, and the backup situation there is not good. So Texas should win this game. How many times have we said that since a monkey bit a small child on Halloween? How many times have we said that Texas should win this game? I don't know. This is a big old shrug. It's a big old shrug. Who knows? Texas, if you told me, hey, what's more likely? Texas has a special teams coach that has a stripper girlfriend who has a monkey that bites a child on Halloween, or they lose seven games straight. I'm like, man, I don't know. But both equal. That's where we're at. That's where we're at, man.
And we already know that one of those happened. So
exactly. Both things could happen. I don't even know where I'm going. I'm still so flustered by the monkey story. I've been thinking about nothing else for the last 3 weeks. It's all I can think about. Give me Kansas State to cover. I don't know.
You know, just like they say that no publicity is bad publicity. I do think though that, you know, monkey.
It's all how you spin it, man. No. It's all how you spin it. If they could have spent that in their way, and they didn't. They had. No,
that's true. They could have talked about, you know, how much fire the team has and how much fight they have that it even spills over to the, you know, special teams coach's girlfriend's monkey on Halloween.
Well, I mean, it was obviously the child's fault. Okay, Saturday, 11 a.m. Baylor hosting Texas Tech in the Butt Bowl. Yep, that's what we call it.
Woo, Butt Bowl.
The thing for Baylor here is simple. The only thing they control is win on Saturday and you have a chance. Lose on Saturday and it's done. If you want to get to the Big 12 title game, you have to win. Then you have to wait for what happens in Bedlam that night at 6:30. I don't think Texas Tech is as good as Iowa State made them look. And I don't think they're as bad as Oklahoma State made them look. I think they're somewhere in the middle. But I do think Baylor is better than Texas Tech. Two touchdowns better? Probably. That's a little rich for my betting blood. But I feel pretty confident Baylor wins this game with as much running on this. And look, I was at Big 12 Media Days this summer. I could sit and listen to Dave Aranda wax poetic about football for like 3 days straight. Like you could follow him 1970s cult style around and just like grow beards and listen to him talk about football. That's how interesting he is when he talks about it. I get why this team is effective. I like him a lot. I also get why he's up for so many other jobs. Hey, Matt, we're not going to talk about that today.
God bless.
I think Baylor wins this. We'll talk about that more on Thursday's show, but yeah, it's a big game. It's a lot of pressure at home.
I literally only have one question about this game.
Sure.
And that is, when the heck are they going to actually make a trophy for this game? Because I want to see the word, you know, the name Butt Bowl enshrined on a piece of metal somewhere.
Just a big shiny metal butt.
That's what I was thinking, but you know, I mean,
and the tradition is you take a dry erase marker and you write the score on each cheek, like each team's. Oh, that's so perfect.
This is totally something that we're going to have to do because I can guarantee the schools will never do it, even though they should. It'd be fantastic.
Do you call?
It's like I made the tent trophy for the Baylor Iowa State game every year.
Or, you know, like Wide Right Natty Light tried to do with Farmageddon. You know, they actually wanted the trophy for that one to be a giant tractor that would go back and forth from Kansas to Iowa, depending on who won.
That's
which would be fantastic and terrifying at the exact same time.
That is some real farmer stuff right there. goodness gracious.
Farmersonly.com.
So this is an 11 a.m. game. It is senior day, and 11 a.m. games at McLean Stadium recently have been dynamite. People have shown up. The last two, granted, have been versus Oklahoma and Texas, but this is a group of seniors, specifically Jalen Petrie, you know, quote, people call him the one who stayed, right? After everything that went down, Jalen Petrie maintained his commitment to Baylor and has become a true impact player for this team. I think people will show up. That is the vibe I'm getting. I think it will be a raucous environment. And I think that 14 point line is just about right. I for some reason, I look at the BYU game back in October. Baylor pulled away from that BYU team. And it was only very late that BYU connected on a couple deep throws to make that look better than it was. But that was a 38-24 game. I look at the West Virginia game, another 11 a.m. kick, 45-20. Right. When this team is better than the other team in the trenches, it just goes really well. That wide zone offense is more efficient than like 50 different teams are passing the ball in the country. I just don't know that this Texas Tech team is ready to stop that kind of running attack 2 weeks in a row, because they didn't stop it this week.
All right. Bedlam, 6:30 PM, ABC. Thank you, Game Day, for not bringing Game Day to Stillwater. I appreciate that. Vegas, double birds. Why would you make OSU the favorite? Why would you do
They're
that
the better team
to us? Shut up. Shut up.
This is the year.
Shut
up.
I don't care what the line is. I don't care what the line is. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm telling you all right now. Preview for Thursday's show. I'm taking the under in this game.
Yes.
Okay? Taking the under in this game.
Oh, absolutely.
I already
– the first team to like 17 points wins this game. That's it.
I was just saying,
I think,
to be honest,
OSU's defense is that good. I think OU's defense is clicking. I think they're playing really well right now. Neither offense just makes me go, wow. Like, Owen Wilson, wow. Like, under all day. And this is not what I was like, well, then the over will hit. No, it will not.
No, the only way that this game cracks 40 points total is if there's two defensive scores.
Like, yes.
That's it.
Potentially. And neither team is a score. Neither team has a ton of defensive scores.
No, right. But like,
force a lot of turnovers. But
honestly,
they are good defenses.
Oklahoma's defense is good enough that it's going to give Oklahoma State's offense problems with all the issues that we've talked about there. Oklahoma State's defense is good enough that I know that you're not on this train at all, Phillip, but I really have a hard time seeing, especially after seeing what Baylor did to Oklahoma. Oklahoma State's defense is better than that. And like, I'm having a hard time seeing Oklahoma scoring any significant number of points in this game. And I know you don't want to talk about it because you are just absolutely convinced that until, you know, it's again, I think I've used this before on this podcast. It's just like back when Kansas was winning so many Big 12 championships, until they don't win it in basketball, you're going to pick them every single year. So until Oklahoma State wins Bedlam, you're going to pick against them in every single year. But I mean, it has to happen at some point. This feels like it's that year because this defense is that good, and it is the only unit that completely blows away every other unit in the entire game.
The only thing, if I was an Oklahoma State fan, the only thing that would actually scare me is if I heard Spencer Rattler was starting, because he should be the pick here. Caleb Williams is dynamic and he's going to be fantastic. He's probably going to be a Heisman candidate in a couple of years. But Spencer Rattler is probably the choice here. I felt like he was probably the better choice against Baylor. When he came in, I was a little bit more scared. Just Spencer Rattler is going to be a little bit more disciplined. Oklahoma State's going to make you methodical, just like Baylor makes you methodical. Who's going to be the better quarterback there? I think Rattler is probably the best choice. I don't know that it'll happen.
I don't know. This Bentler Rassler guy sounds like he could be pretty good. Sorry, you said that and immediately I just like, it's time to wrestle.
It's wrestling time. And this will be a wrestling match. WRASSLIN. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So with that all said, make sure and follow our good friend Andy on Twitter at AndyMitts12, MITTS, and check out the Rock Chalk podcast, his show for Kansas. Follow Matt Is Bear. That's his Twitter handle. That's what we call him. And part of the Between Two Bears podcast, our Baylor show. You can find all our shows at 1012network.com, T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. It's also our Twitter handle, in case you're curious. Instagram handle is at 1012pod. Whatever. It is what it is. Do me a favor, by the way, for my OSU fan to listen. I still need tickets for Saturday, and I'm going to blatant plug that I need tickets, and I don't want to have to sell my any of my children to afford to do so. So if you've got some tickets and you can't go to the game, or you know someone's got tickets and they can't go to the game, and can you let me know? You can DM us on Twitter at 1012 Network. You can DM me at OKTXARPoke. I am looking.
Get him to the game, guys. Come on.
I say, this is how you know
it's going to be the last Bedlam game in Stillwater for who knows how long. I have to go to this game.
But look, this is how you know it's serious, because he told you to DM him on his personal account, not on the podcast account only.
I never give my personal Twitter account out on
here. Exactly.
Not that people don't know what it is. That's how you know it's serious. It's not like I hide it. Like, oh, it's blocked. It's private. No, it's not. Shoot me a DM if you got some. You know, somebody who's got some. We'll be back on Thursday. With Daniel and Chris to make picks for the weekend ahead. And hopefully I don't sound like this then. Bye.
Podcast Network.